Their foundation is in the holy mountains. We come to acknowledge your goodness and your mercy. We thank you because you brought us today under the shadow of your mighty presence. We come under the auspices of the Spirit of Christ, the mighty Spirit of Christ, the mind of Christ. We bring our mind under the overshadow, for as I might overshadow our mind, overshadow us, O God. Let that which you say must be swallowed up, even that which is mortal, be swallowed up for that which is immortal. They corrupt by that which is incorruptible. Lord, we come to look into your face and to glorify you, O God. We open our hearts, we present it to you, that you might write upon it by the ministry of your Spirit, by the lettering of your Spirit, that you might minister to everyone bread, a piece of wine, my God. Say flagons, very sweet wine from your presence. Lord, let strength be apportioned unto us. Fill our vessels. Quicken us, O God. Heal the hearts. Heal the brokenhearted. Oh, you see the situations. Let there be a ministry diverse unto every heart, unto every condition. Let the valleys be filled. Let the mountains be made low. Let the crooked places be straightened. We bring the attitudes. You see the thoughts. You see all the conditions. We bring it before you. You see the chains. You see the bondages. You see all. Because all are before you. We ask, O God, that by your anointing, that the yokes, the chains, the burdens will be broken. Lord, that there will be deliverance upon Mount Zion this evening. That the people of God will come into their possession. That we will mount up and go up in Zion. We will begin to climb the hills of Zion. Blessed be your name, O Lord. We glorify your name. We exalt you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Today I have some friends this evening. I have a little bud as my friend. So I don't know how you are going to see it. But praise God. It's a very special bud. So will I go for it? So I'm going to try to use that bud to write down some things. Amen. Last Sunday we were looking at something very, very basic, very fundamental. We were looking at midnight and about the story of the virgin. Well, I've been praying and just looking to the Lord to see how do we go. I don't exactly know where we're going to go, but I have some things written down. I don't know if I'm going to follow them, but I believe that God speaks to the heart. So I believe that there will be a ministry to the heart. Amen. So we looked at three pieces of information last time. We're trying to just piece it, break out the story of the virgin. I'm hoping that today we can go a little bit into more scriptures in looking at all that story. But usually for me, I don't know for other people, but the way I function. I always like to have an overview. You know, that's why I tell people, cities like when I come into a big city like this, I just switch off because I don't know where I am. So I don't even try to find out. But usually, the scripture gives us a context. And my experience, I found that it helps me to have a context. And the context I have is the context of the tabernacle. Because it, for me, the most practical
you can use. I've grown up using it, trying to pattern my life on it. So when I hear a scripture, I'm trying to find out where do I fit it in the tabernacle. It helps me. So I hope you pardon me because I'm going to try to do that. I'm trying to put in this story of the virgins into the context of the tabernacle. And you know, and when you do that, you see the whole thing comes out. You can then get all the strength, all the life, all the nutrients, everything that is packed into that story. It's so very, very, very basic, you know. Like I said last time, the scripture, the thing that caught my attention was the phrase at midnight, and you know, of course, that is very basic to us at this time because I don't think there's anybody living on, who is around here now on earth who is not aware that something is wrong and that there is trouble. I don't know. Well, maybe I don't know if the young people are with us, but well, I hope you will come to it. It's not party. The party is over, and we're really getting into big trouble. So it's like getting ready, you know, straight in. It's like a boot camp, as they would say. So we talked about the lamp, you know, because for the wise virgin, foolish virgin, they all had to have the lamp. And then we also talked about the vessel. And we said if we can draw a bit. So if we use 3 cycles, what you call the vessel will be the soul. Okay, and then what you will call the lamb will then be the human spirit. And of course you have the body.
As it's put down on the board, that's how it is. It has of like I said last time, Christian people are afraid of reality, spiritual reality. But it's too late now. We have to quickly jump on board. So these are different levels of realms. These are different realms. These are different levels of energy, if you wish. Just like in this room, you have air, you have solid. I guess there's some liquid somewhere. Okay, so those are 3 levels of reality, physical reality. In the spirit also, you have that reality. Okay, and so we're looking at spirit, soul, body. Now, this is the man. Okay, this is the man. And this story is speaking about vessel and lamp. Of course, it doesn't say anything about the body, but it's implied. All right, so this is my everyday. My story today is on the board here. Everything that's happened to me today is you can represent on the board. But that's not all the story. So if you run a line across, and then you put up a very little drawing here representing the tabernacle, which I take it that you are familiar with it. The tabernacle has 3 compartments, like 1, 2, 3. Okay, so this is Moses' tabernacle. Okay, and this is man's tabernacle. And if you are familiar with John, if you are familiar with John chapter 2, you know, this is what Jesus was saying. But first, let's label this. This is the outer court. This is holy place. And then this is the most holy place. If you're reading Hebrews, you will know Hebrew does not even discuss the outer court. You understand? So in the book of Hebrews, he only talks about the sanctuary, that is the holy place and the most holy place. But in the Old Testament, of course, we had this arrangement. Okay, this arrangement is no more. This altar called holy place is not there. But they have another one. So when you have the real one, you don't need to bother with this. So this one is in place. Okay, so this temple is already in place and it's functional. Now, when we look at John chapter 2, Jesus goes to the physical temple and he tells them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'm going to raise it up. And in verse 19, 20, 21, he says, and he was speaking of the temple of his body. You know, so Jesus jumps Old Testament into the new, and he lands and he says that he is the walking, moving, talking temple of God. That is a mighty transformation. You know, so Paul himself, you know, because Bible says, how a basic teaching in the scripture is that you say by the word of two or three witnesses, that means you have a lot of people talking about it. So Jesus himself makes this statement, John, very clear. He says he was speaking of the temple of his body. Paul himself says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, in fact, 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, and chapter 6 also, he says, do you not know that you are the temple of the living God? Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so Paul talked about it. Of course, well, you want to go further down. When you come to Ephesians, he says that we are being built up as a habitation of God, the holy temple of God. We are being built up, you know. Peter also talks about it. Peter says that we are a royal priesthood that might be built up into a spiritual house, you know, a temples, you know, being built up. Jesus says in John chapter 14, in my Father's house. What do you have? There are many. So a house, a mansion cannot be in the house. So he's speaking about, it must be a spiritual reality. So that house is speaking about the house of God. You know, it's so big, and in it there are dwelling places. You know, so for the man is a dwelling place. It's a habitation of God. But it will interest you that this habitation is not only the habitation of God. There are other people who are other spirits, other interest groups in this habitation of God. All right, so that changes the equation. All right, for example, John, you know, you look at Luke chapter 5, you see the Mark and others. So there was a man, said many devils entered into him. All right, and when Jesus cast out the devils, what happened? They went and entered the swine. So spirits must have a dwelling place, must have a body to dwell and to express themselves through. Amen. Okay, so I think I'll just stop there so that I don't get off. But I was just trying to make the point that man is a dwelling place, is a temple, you know, for God. And in the nature, Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 that he created man in his own image and likeness, isn't it? So we see God the Father,
God the Son. I can draw it here to complete our picture. Now, the spirit of man is not existing in isolation. So, for instance, Scripture says in Corinthians that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit, isn't it? So there is a communion, there is a flow, and down the road, I will show you that there is a river that flows. There's a river, there's a flow of life from the Spirit of God into the spirit of man. Amen. And when sin came along, this river stopped flowing. There's a blockage. Amen. So there is the Spirit of God. And then you have that Christ, the Son, and then you have the Father. So you have three, and you have three. So man is in three dimensions, just like God, who is in three. So God has manifested himself to us in three natures, in three persons, in three manifestations. And that is the nature that we see in man. So, the major point is that the Spirit, which you call the Lamb, fits the vessel. And the vessel fits the body. So the body is the lowest. It's the lowest part of you, or the lowest part of man, and the spirit of man, he says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, giving light to the different parts of the belly. So the Hebrew, they will call this belly, the soul, they will refer to as belly. Alright, so we can see let's read John chapter 7. We're trying to establish a river. We're trying to establish a flow. And then we will move on. John chapter 7. It says, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will do what? Will flow rivers of living water. But this speak he of the Spirit, which they that receive on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So he's speaking about this flow. You know, so there is a flow from God into me, and then there is a flow out from me into the world. So this man is supposed to be a vessel and a channel. Amen. And for Jesus, we see that flow, we see that strength. When he came into the place, the spirit started crying. They started responding. They were responding to the life, the virtue. Remember that woman who came and touched? He said, virtue has come out of me. Amen. Because there was a flow, you know. And we also are supposed to be like that. That out of us, out of our belly, we do what? We flow rivers of living waters. Amen. But for that to happen, I must be connected. I must be connected to the Spirit. Amen. And that is the whole story of the vessels, of these virgins. In the scriptures, the, you know, like I said, the scriptures is a prophetic book.
It can be enough also. It's good. But when you begin to come to it, you see it take on a spirit, a prophetic dimension. It begins to speak to you, speak to different dimensions. We know that virgin there is a prophetic word. In the natural, we know what a virgin is. Someone who is betrothed to be married, that's not, you know, that hasn't had any intimate relationship on the natural. But that word virgin also is a spiritual word. Okay? God said he was married to Israel. You've seen that before. I married Israel, and Israel has played the harlot. You understand? So, he's speaking about a spiritual relationship. Alright? And so we know that when we see the word woman or virgin, we know he's speaking about the church in the prophetic application. Because every word of God has a prophetic, and then every prophetic application has the fullness of it. So, in the natural, there's a virgin. In the spirit, we are looking at a people. But in the reality of the spirit, is speaking about the soul. The virgin is speaking about, it's speaking about you. And it's speaking about the soul. Because this soul is the dominant part of you. Friends, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth. It doesn't say the spirit that sinneth. The next level of our talk, we will be able to open out the soul and we'll look at the different components of the soul. But he said, the soul that sinneth shall die. Therefore, it is the soul that needs redemption. So he says, he has given the blood, because it's the blood that does what? That makes atonement for what? For the soul. Alright? The soul has sinned, therefore the soul needs redemption. Alright? And we will see, in fact, when you, let me quickly put that before I forget. Yeah, when you come into the tabernacle, the first thing you meet, the dominant part of this tabernacle is what? You meet an altar. You meet that it's four-cornered altar, four-squared, you know, four sides. And that four side speaks of the soul. Because this soul has four natures. The mind, emotions, desire, and what? And the will. So mind, emotion, desire, and will. Now, these four natures must come to a place of communion, of fellowship, you know. And the first place, the first experience, is the experience of judgment. And that's why this altar is made of brass. You know. You know, for any one of us in this room, our soul must keep an appointment with God. And what is that appointment? Judgment. And this judgment is a daily lifestyle. Paul said, I die daily. You know? So you don't come to the altar and then you go away. You know, it's a daily walk. Do you know what you find in this place? In this altar, you find fire. Amen. And guess what? The fire only comes on one condition. There must be a sacrifice on the altar. Amen. Guess who's going to be the sacrifice? There's one young man, his name is Jacob. Is it Jacob or Isaac? Which one is that? Is it Isaac? Yeah, Isaac. That's a young man. I'm always enthralled by that story. Can you imagine any of these young men, you are taking them to go and bind them hand and foot? Is it possible? I'm looking at Brother Rebecca and I say, so the strong men I'm seeing around here, can you take any of them to the mountain and you stand by them? Can you imagine any of these guys? He said, my friend, what are you trying to do?
He said, Father, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? What was the answer? That's the answer God is giving to us. You know, we're asking for a fire in our lives. Holy Ghost fire, bring that fire again. God said, no problem. For fire to come, something must happen. What is that? There must be an offering on the altar. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, now let's look at something very interesting. When you look at this temple, it's very clear where the altar is. So can I ask you a question? Where is the altar in this temple? In you, me. Where is the altar here? Because if this is the temple, there must be an altar. Amen. And if there is an altar, who is the offering? Hallelujah. Amen. You know? So we see that the game has changed. You know? And it's no longer as it used to be where the temple is somewhere in the heavens. As when we're thinking of God, we say God is very somewhere, you know, is in this. He said, who will go up to heaven and bring him down? Or who will go read that down and bring him? He says that the word is in your mouth. It's near you. It's read, right? Amen. So what's going on? I'm angry, I'm bitter, I'm offended, I'm really, like we say, upset. What is it that's happening? That means that temple cannot function again. Because it is the emotions that are now involved, isn't it? And the emotions are all fouled up. The mind is all... So that means that right at that time, there's a crisis in that temple. Hallelujah. You know? So we've seen that we are coming to the point where, as we talk about oil, buying oil in the vessel. You know? Now, oil in the spirit is very, it's fine. There is no character to it. I don't know if you are with me. Oil in the vessel and oil in the spirit, they are two different things. In the spirit, when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, that experience of baptism, what it means is that you have a deposit of the Spirit. You now have the fullness of the Spirit in your spirit. Yes, the Spirit comes to energize your spirit and you are quickened. Amen. And you can speak in tongues, you can prophesy, you can do all kinds of things. But it has nothing to do with your emotions. Very little. It does have very little. Very little of desire. So it doesn't really do much with the character. So what we find is that today, well, we have a church that has knocked engine as far as the soul is concerned, because no oil in it, no character, no integrity, no truthfulness, no truth, no purity, no righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit are lacking. Amen. And that's like the Corinthian church. Gifts of the Spirit. Miracles. You know? They had those things. But you see, after some time, even the oil here will dry out. Because the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is to bring Christ into the soul. Christ must come into the soul. Because the soul is the prize. It's what God is looking for. It's the redemption. He says, Christ in me. When you say in me, is it my leg? Eh? So if Christ in me, what would be the premium of Christ in me? Is it in my legs or in my mind? Amen. So say Christ in me is what? Is a hope. The hope of this. And you know, hope is what you don't have. You're looking forward to it. So the Spirit of Christ comes in into this realm of the Spirit, and it is energized and quickened. And you know, you can you feel on top of the world. You can, when you're in fellowship, my God, you can scatter this room. You can just jump up and, you know. But after some time, when you are not in the Spirit, what happens? You become like Elijah, like a normal man. The woman says, just wait for me. If I come near you, and the man began to run. Amen. So we are this kind with this fellowship wonder. You know, when we are fellowship, we are great. But outside of that, we don't have one. And the reason is because the oil is not where it should be, right in the soul. Amen. But we're looking at positives today. So how do we get the oil down there into the soul, into my mind, into my character? You know, I wake up in the morning, I don't feel like praying. How many people feel like that? Well, everybody here is spiritual, praise God. These guys are great. Every morning you want to pray, you want to go to your fellowship. Yeah. Amen. Okay, this message is not for you. It's for those of us who, you wake up and say, God, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. I want out. I see that's what people are doing. I say, I want out. I want to quit. I want to quit. That's why you Americans say, I want to quit. You feel like it, it's not right to say those kind of things. So you try to patch it, you know. So you patch it and come around. Amen. But God says that the Son of Righteousness will do what? Do that right. So how do I get the Son into my emotion? That's a critical point. Yes, the Son is in the Spirit. The Spirit is, Bible says that the Spirit is righteousness. You know, it's life because of righteousness. When this barrier is broken, the blood breaks it. Amen. When blood comes, it breaks the vessel and the river starts flowing into your spirit. You are refreshed. But there's a man that says, how about me? You know, I need life also. I need to be quickened. I need to be strengthened. By the way, now, when you come to the second experience in the tabernacle, which is labor, you know, that's the place of baptism. You know, I'm sorry for this small drama, but I'm sure you can imagine it. Uh-huh. It's somewhere there. It's in the middle. I'm just pushing it there. Now, so... So you say you have a basin, isn't it? And inside this basin is water, isn't it? Now, water, the water speaks of a grave. Somebody is going to be buried, and somebody is also going to be resurrected. Amen. So when they came out of Egypt, the first experience was a burial and a resurrection. So God buried their old life, their history, their failure, their servitude, all that thing. God buried it, baptized it, and they came out of it. See, they were baptized unto Moses in the sea, isn't it? So baptism in water is for the body. It is a sign, it is a prophetic word to this man inside here, this inward man. God is speaking and prophesying to the inward man. You too are going to be baptized. So the water baptism is for the body, and it's a man that baptizes you. So you say after you are born again, you are baptized. That's fine. Now the next baptism is for who? It's for the Spirit. So the Spirit comes. So it's like a tap. You connect. You know, you are wired up in the Spirit. You know, and you have a flow of energy. By the way, this flow is a connection throughout the whole world.
In this room now, we are wired in the spirit. You may not see it, but it's there. Amen. You guys, what's happening? You don't want to say amen. You are connected. We are connected one to another. There's a wiring in the spirit. And there's a flow of life. You know? It goes. And not just that, it goes all over in the body. The body is, you know, and it's all connected to the head. Amen. So, the spirit is baptized. At that Holy Ghost baptism. And you can see, there's still somebody who's waiting. And it is you. Yeah, the real, where you should get down to. The soul is yet to be. So he says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. So there is another baptism. That is the baptism of Christ. That is where this realm of Christ, of soul, is brought into the spirit. So Christ comes into you, into your soul, that he might bring your soul into Christ. I don't know if you understand it. So the seed, it comes in as a seed. Remember, he came to the woman, is it not? Somebody, you know, they say the Holy Ghost, say you shall be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. So where is the Holy Ghost here? That's it, man. The Holy Ghost is overshadowing your spirit, and from your spirit it's overshadowing the woman. Amen. Amen. So he says, you are going to get a seed. That's a seed of life in my soul, in my mind, in my emotion. It's a seed. But you see, that seed is a foreigner. It's like they brought, bring this, what do you call them, the marines. You see, they bring them and drop them into, you know, foreign land. They don't really know the terrain, they're just there. But you see, they have to overcome it, they have to conquer it. And that mission may be aborted. You know, maybe before they even touch the ground, they're all dead. That's what's going on with the spirit of Christ. So there's a seed of Christ here. The seed. And the scripture says that I labor and travail until what? Christ become. Hallelujah. So the woman has to receive a seed in her soul. Okay. Now the scripture tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that there are three vessels. There are three there are three things that bring Christ to man. There are three of them. First, the blood. Two, the spirit. Thirdly, the word. There are three things that bring Christ into the soul. So, that's why the man, you must receive the blood to be born again. Because the blood that brings Christ to you. Then the Holy Ghost also comes and brings Christ. Don't you understand? It brings watering. It begins to water that seed. And the seed begins to grow. Don't you understand? And then the word itself is like a water also. It's a ministry of the word. Because say the word converts the soul. So the purpose of God is to convert the soul. So you have these four regions. There are four strongholds. One, they say, is lion. The other one is a bed. What was the other one? The other one is crawling, headbound. And then you have an ox somewhere down there. Amen. Now, these natures must be changed. They cannot be changed without oil, don't you understand? Oil must get to them. They must be oil. They must be soaked. They must be, you know. So, we have a crisis today because, yes, we are born again. In some measure, baptized with the Spirit. Story stops. Amen. And the oil is not getting down where you need it. I need the oil in my emotion, in my attitude. I don't know about you, but these days I sit down and I say, God, I look at my attitude. Yes, the doctrine is right, but the attitude is wrong. Say amen now. Hey. The doctrine is right, attitude is wrong. Amen. I have the vision. God is speaking. The problem is not what God is speaking. It is how are you bringing the thing that God spoke. That's the victory. That's the coming. Amen. Hallelujah. You're bringing correction. You're even disciplining your child. The problem is not discipline. It says, how are you disciplining the child? You know? And why are you doing it? Is it for your selfishness? so that the child will not be a disgrace to this family. You are not going to be a disgrace to this family. So which one is the problem? Is it the family or the child? The child says, so you are more interested in the family than myself. No problem. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So so we see ourselves being driven to that place of integrity, the place of character, the place of oil in our mind, in my desire, in my will, and all that. So, because he says he's going to present unto himself a glorious church. Well, let's put it this way, a glorious virgin. What's the virgin? It's the soul. That is the bride of Christ. That nature, that creation that must be like Christ. If the man is going to marry the wife, then the wife has to at least come up to his face. You know, he must present to himself a glorious church without any blemish or spot. Amen. That means he's going to go through a lot of washing, a lot of cleansing. And in the tabernacle, there's a place for cleansing. And the church has failed at the place of cleansing. You and I were failed. Amen. And we must come to that place. The place of cleansing, the place of consecration, is the place of sanctification. These are big, big words. What do they mean? You know, see the priests, when they come there, they must wash themselves. How are you clean? Say here, how will a young man cleanse his way? Do you know young man is not this man, no? He's the soul. This young man here. This young man. Because this man doesn't know who God is. Don't you understand? This soul is blind to God. Doesn't know who God is. Has to be taught. The eyes of understanding has to open. Don't you understand? To see God for the first time. I have a father. Jehovah is his name. So that is why I call him Jehovah. You know, you are enthralled by him. You are beginning to know about him. Your eyes are opening. Hallelujah. The man says, except you see, your eyes are open, you can't even see. Talk of entering. So here now, we are still talking about seeing. We have not entered yet into the real arena of activity. You know. So the outer court is the place where is the reception. Place for judgment of the soul, a place for cleansing of the soul. Importantly, I say covenant. God speaks. He says to the woman, hail. God comes and says, hail. He says, you know, how are you doing today? I have some good news for you. That's the meaning of hail. That's God is saying, God has better things for you. Amen. That is God's plan for you is better than anything you can plan for yourself. You say, hail. You know. There is something happening inside this place. The bridal chamber. I'm going to bring you in. So God begins to open himself up. Open the eyes of understanding. You know, Paul said that the eyes of understanding might be open, that we may know the riches of our inheritance. Now, some of us, well, let me not say some of us, let me speak about myself. You know, I have challenges because I don't know the riches of my, I have not seen it. I have not seen the riches of my inheritance in God. I have not seen myself in God the way I should be, who I should be. Now, there's a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. Because if in my heart I know who God wants me to be, my identity crisis will end. You know, I will quickly agree with what God is speaking of me. Amen. Because I see that those men, they saw the vision afar off. Is it in your Bible? They saw the vision afar off. Even though it said that they began to confess and speak to the things they were speaking. Amen. Hallelujah. So the things were in front, but they were here, and they were already relating to the things God is speaking. Hallelujah. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, the things that God has planned, those riches. But see, we stop there. But that's not where it stops. However, they are revealed to us by the Spirit. So, that revelation is, this man must see. He must see what God is saying. And not just, he must begin to walk You know, look at those brethren. Walked for Jesus for many miles, and they didn't know who he was. In fact, they even entered the house. Even though he would say, "Oh, yeah, come," he followed them. They sat at meat. It was only when they began to break the bread that their eyes were opened. Do you know that those men are in this room? Is it possible that those men are in those room? You are coming to fellowship, singing, "That is why I know Jehovah." What that song you are singing? And you dance and enjoy. And you have not seen the Lord. You don't have a revelation of Christ. This whole thing is just like a carrot. Well, let me just go on. Well, if I go, they will pray for me and I can. I'm going to get that job. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this. You have a checklist. Yes, we'll pray for you. You'll get the job. You eat the bread and go. But there needs to be a place where there is a revelation of the Christ. Amen. Amen. And you see, when we see that reality, then you see it, that vision will change our lives. Hallelujah. You know, so let me just jump a bit. So the first, we ended by talking about how to get the oil. How do we get there? And we said we have to come to the mind. You know, so let's read a couple of scriptures, and then so that we can properly, pin that down. Isaiah 55. So he says, verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now watch. "For my thoughts," where do you have thoughts? In your mind, isn't it? Good. So he's speaking about the mind. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So we're looking at levels now. God's mind and my own mind. And he's saying God's mind is far higher than our own mind. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 10, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth," or watereth the mind, "and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For it shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the mighty tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off." Amen. That's a big promise. You know, he's speaking about God's word, that is God's mind to my mind. So when God speaks, God doesn't speak to the emotion. God speaks to the mind. So let's take an example. God took a man called Moses to the Mount Sinai. Is that correct? What happened there? Moses began to feel good, and he felt happy. That's how God communicated to him. That's how God communicated to him. Moses began to feel good and rejoice. He began to, you know, God, you know, God ministered to his emotion and his desire in his way. Is that what happened? See, and the Lord spoke to Moses. Amen. So the entrance of the glory, the entrance of the Lord is where? The mind is the end point. Now you can see that in the tabernacle. The tabernacle, this is the east. The east is the entrance, the gate. You enter the tabernacle from the east. And if you know your scripture where it tells you that this is the west side. The west side is the back where you have the most holy place. On the right is the north, and on the south is the west. That's geography. Amen. So God comes from the east. Where does the sun arise? The sun of righteousness arises with healing. Comes from the east. Amen. So the east is the mind. So if anybody is going to receive anything in this room, you must keep your mind clear.
Amen.
Isaiah 26 says that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, it so happens that there is somebody else who wants your mind. The Bible says you war. You say we should abstain from fleshly lust. Now do what? Now war against the soul. So the music is for the mind. The television is for the mind. All the things, the advertisement. There is no country that is advert par excellence than where we have come to now. The billboards are there, the television, they're everywhere, all kinds of adverts. And what is it competing for? It's competing for the mind. So you have an overload on the mind. And that is the place where God says, let me meet with you. Amen. Okay, let's look at Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, from verse 28. Has thou not known, has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now what is he saying? He's speaking about the mind, the ego. The mind has one basic nature: to mount up. Amen. When you stay in this fellowship for the next 1 hour, your mind will be in a high place because of the word that you are hearing. Amen. So as you begin to hear the word, the mind begins to rise. That's what he's saying in Isaiah 53. So is my word. God sends his word to take your mind and bring you to the realm where God is. Amen.
Amen.
So if you want to rise in your mind, then you go to the word of God. It takes you and begins to lift you above the things happening on the earth. Because on the earth you have a lot of flood. He said the devil did something with his mouth. Is it not? There's a flood coming. And it says, to the woman was given the wings of an eagle to rise. And one of the things that will, good habit, is the ability to rise. To rise, you need energy. You need strength. I'll give you an example. When you forgive someone, you are rising. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is an offering you offer to your husband or to your children or to your wife. It has to be a daily thing. That's why God put you, say, hey, my friend, you're going to marry to this woman, two of you are in this room. Amen. You'll be stepping on one another, offering forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. Is that God's system? Forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. Then you come to fellowship. What do you do in fellowship? Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. You're offering it. It's an energy. When it runs dry, so I can't take it anymore. I'm not a fool. Am I the only one that will be forgiven? Am I the only one that will be saying sorry? Am I the only one that will turn the cheek? It means the thing has run dry. Amen. And it's about to knock engine. The engine is offense. And when you offend, you draw a wall around you. Nobody can reach you. Amen. That means you're ready to die and fossilize. Amen. Hallelujah. There must be an ability to rise in the spirit. Amen. And the thing that takes you there is the word. It's the word of God that comes. The word comes to take you. And you see, it will not come back void. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alright, so we have seen this one, that they that wait. So the more you wait. Now, what this oil we're speaking about, we're not speaking about 5 minutes, just do, and we're speaking about waiting on the Lord as a lifestyle. That's, you're walking, you're waiting on the Lord. Don't you understand? You know? You're cooking and you're waiting on the Lord. You are wherever you are. Say, pray without ceasing. How are you going to pray without ceasing? That means it's a lifestyle. Say, my soul, wait on the Lord. Say, my soul waits on the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Have you watched for the morning before? You are waiting. Oh, let the morning come. You see, a woman, labor starts. You are waiting for the morning. You are waiting for just to get the right time. Amen. That's how a man is. It says, as the maidens wait upon their mistresses. Yeah? So, Lord, we wait. Amen. You know, so, waiting on the Lord is a lifestyle. It's an attitude of life. It's, you know, something you don't just stroll into it. And look at Jesus. Try and look at it. And he said he wait a long while before anybody's up. He's here in the desert. What is he doing? Waiting on the Lord. Any small thing, he pulls apart to go and pray. If Jesus could pray, you that is in America, yeah, in this place, eh? You don't want to wait for the Lord. You cannot enter your car and be driving to and fro. You must wait on the Lord. Amen. You must have a place where you lock. It says, enter into your closet and shut the door. And you say, Daniel, he opened the windows of his house. Yeah? That means his mind. Daniel opened his mind to heaven 3 times a day, and heaven was rolling down on him. Amen. So, do you think it was a mistake that when the man dreamt a dream, he went to heaven. Heaven just downloaded the information and gave it to him. He went and told him. Amen. We can come to the place where we have a river flowing. We have a connection, and it is replenishing and refreshing. Hallelujah. It's called waiting on the Lord, and it's something that needs to be a lifestyle, and that is the strength of any individual, and it's the strength of any fellowship, the place of prayer. Before he took that major decision, what did he do? The Bible said he prayed all through the night. He's the Son of God. Why don't you just take a stroll and just do what you had to do? But he prayed through the night. So that's to underscore the importance of hearing from heaven. Amen. We're looking at the next scripture, Ezekiel 43. Ezekiel 43. Now, verse 1, we read from verse 1 to 5. It says, and afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. So when you look at the tabernacle, where is it? The entrance. I remember we are that tabernacle. Amen. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from where? The way of the east. And his voice was like unto a noise of many waters. And the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision that I saw, according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the vision were like the vision that I saw by the river Cheba, and I fell upon my face. Look at verse 4. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Amen. I don't know if you're excited, but I'm very excited. You know why I'm excited? Because the glory is coming.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Where is the glory coming to? This temple.
Amen.
Not just this temple, the temple of my soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he's telling me, this east gate, open it. And when I open it and I bring it as an offering, the glory is going to come back. If you look in earlier in Ezekiel, the glory of God departed from the temple. But here he's saying it's coming back. And it's specifically, it's coming through the east gate. Hallelujah. Amen. Alright, let's go to the next. Next one is 44. Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary. We looked towards the east, and it was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man, no music, no Rihanna, once again, no Twitter, WhatsApp, what again? What's the FaceTime? Amen. No man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, had entered in by it. Therefore, it shall be shut. We need to shut that door. Yeah, the amen is very small, though. We're not saying the amen. Phoebe, you're not saying the amen very, very strong. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. We need to shut the gate. I need to shut the gate. Because it's only for the prince. Amen.
Amen.
So I need to dedicate my mind and say, Lord, this gate is for you.
Amen.
And when you enter, you shut it. There will be too much traffic. You know, remember the story of the parable? It says that somebody came and was sowing, and some fell by the wayside. And guess what? Say that the devil came and... The problem is not conference or fellowship or evening meeting like this. The problem is this one you are hearing, you have to hide it. Hide it very well. Because somebody wants to pick it. Hallelujah. So if we don't pay attention, if we don't store it, if we don't, you know, meditate on it, break it down and hide it, it's not going to be of any use. Hallelujah. So we need to hear and hear very well. Hallelujah. Verse 3 says, it's for the prince. The prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate, and shall go out by the way of the same. Amen. Hallelujah. So the scripture is very clear about this sanctuary, about this entrance, about the entrance. Now there is something else, two more things I want to show about the mind. When you go to Joshua chapter 1, there is something that we find. Let's just look at it. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Say, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of man, of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Amen. And go over this Jordan. You know, we are trying to cross Jordan, we don't want to arise. It's not going to happen. Amen. To cross Jordan, we must arise in the spirit. Hallelujah. Can you imagine Moses going to the mountain and not climbing? Mountain means you climb. Hallelujah. So Moses had to climb, had to arise to come to the place where he could hear from God. Hallelujah. And you and I, we also need to arise in the spirit so that we can hear what God will say to us. Amen. We need to climb. This tabernacle is like a step. Each one, you are climbing higher and higher and higher and higher. Hallelujah. So that is one major thing we need to do. We need to arise. Now, arising means to open the front door. The front door of man is the mind. The back door of man is the body. If you look at this body, the front door, the part of you that connects to heaven, is the mind. That's the front door. The back door is the natural. And Sister Maybe says, talk is cheap. Everybody can talk. You know, body is very easy. You don't need to rise to use your body. To say your body is very easy. You know? But to open the mind requires effort. And it's the front door. Amen. The mind, the unconscious part of the mind, is the part that is in fellowship with the Spirit. Amen. And that is the part that we as end time people, we are afraid of. Amen. But that's the reality we have to come to. Let me read one more scripture, then I think we'll begin to wind down. The body, flesh. That's the back door. Time has gone. If not, that back door has connections. You know, but let's see. Let's deal with this one first. So we need to rise in order to come into that, in order to enter and come into the realm of the Spirit. Now, let's deal quickly with the cry at midnight. There was a cry at midnight. So we've talked about the oil opening, how to open, and how to, you know, allow the flow. That is the mind. And let me quickly add, the mind is the part of the soul that commands the emotion and will and desire. Okay, that's why we in the medicine, we talk about psychosomatic, exactly what people call it. That the mind is sick, every part of the soul is sick, the body breaks down. Because the energy is in the mind. The mind gives life to the body, and therefore, okay, so it's the anchor point. If you lose it in the mind, it's over. So we are being taught how to open up the mind and let. Now, yes, one more principle. Sharing so many principles. Okay, now when they were going to enter the promised land, there's a very important principle there. There are two giants that you had to meet. There are two giants. Now, to be able to have dominion, the Bible says, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like what? He's sitting that's broken down. No walls, no control, no And you see, you cannot say you're a son of God when the inward man is a weakling. Do you understand? A son of God means that the inwardly, you have come, a maturity in the spirit. Amen. Uh-huh. So if we are going to make a leapfrog from a place where we are under the elements, you know, for the son, he said the son, as long as it's a child, this under element is tutors. Those elements are the flesh, you know, food, the drives, you know, the elements are ruling us. We are canal based people. To flip it means that the soul, the inward man must rise. Now, there are two giants. I mentioned it the other time, but there are two giants. Have you ever, why is it that they had to overcome those two giants? In fact, there was the east side of Jordan and then the other part of it. So they had to first of all overcome in order to enter into the promised land. And the two giants, one is Og. Og means circle. And Og speaks of the desire, lust. Okay? Now, the other one is Sihon. And Sihon means temper, the emotions, you know, and all the attitudes. So you see a combination of emotion and passion. Now, and temper. When you bring it together, you come with something called passion, energy. Alright? And this is what is driving the modern day world. Energy of passion, desire, lust, you know, comfort. And it's a big giant. So he's saying, instead of having a place where the mind is ruling the soul, what do you have ruling the soul? It is the desire and the will. So it's a misnomer. So you come to fellowship. Fellowship is good when you feel good, not with what you have heard from God. I don't know if I'm, you know, if I'm communicating. So fellowship is a place where there is emotion. My relationship with God, when I'm feeling good, then God is good. When I'm not feeling good, God is no more there. You know, so you come to a point where it is a relationship based on feeling. Love is feeling. You know, and that is the interpretation of love now, is, you know, feeling. I feel it. You know, I feel the life. I feel. So if I feel good about it, I do it. If I don't feel good about it, I don't. So say, sister, how are you feeling about it? It's not what is the Lord saying about it. It's how am I feeling? So I don't feel good about these things, rules and regulations. But what is God saying to you as an individual? You know. So we see the Christianity is turned upside down, and what is rising is the emotion, is the desire. You know. And you come to a point where what is more important is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see those three, you know, and they had to overcome it. So what are we saying? We are saying to be able to come to a point where we can begin to make a headway, we need to turn it on the flip side. And what is the turning? We have to bring the word of the Lord. What is God saying to me? What is God saying to me right now? What is God saying to us as a people? What is God requiring? What is the word of the Lord on this matter? When there's an issue, you know, it's not what has so and so said. What is the Lord speaking to me? You know, I was telling my wife the other day, we're reviewing it. I said, it's like we're failed. Because it's like we have a bunch of rules and regulations. If you do so and so and so, you are born again. If you don't do so and so and so, and so, you're not born again. You know, it's not so much so as my relationship with God. What am I hearing from heaven? What is God speaking to me? What is God requiring to me? What is God saying? You know, so we need to make a transition from a body-based relationship with God. You know, I define myself by how much blessing I have, by how much is on my table, how much is on my bank account. You know, the Bible says a man's life does not consist in the abundance. You know, but what is important is what is that highway? It says the highway of the righteous is upward to depart from sin beneath. Amen. You know, so I believe that that there is a call at this midnight hour to redirect our relationship. And I personally do not think that God is saying anything that is beyond us. There are not things that there are not requirements that I cannot get into. I believe God is saying I can do something about it. You know, and for me, the easy way to look at this is a lifestyle change. I need to look at my lifestyle. I need to look at the trust. I need to look at the priorities. What is predominant? You know, Bible says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I didn't say like a child. But when I became a man, that's when I come to maturity, then I have to put away childish things. A child is body based, mouth based. You know, everything goes into the mouth. You know, but when I begin to grow up, I know that there are other things apart from the mouth. You know, so I think God is asking us to make that leapfrog jump. You know, that jump into the spirit. And the easiest way into the spirit is through the mind. And it's through the word. The word is basic, we have it. We can read to it, we can read it. You know? So man shall not live by bread alone. We can see this man here. It's not only physical bread. Two tenths need something else. And two tenths they feed on the energy of Christ. And that is the energy of the word. Of course, we have the written word. Well, thank God even for the written word. In the written word there is life. How much more in the spirit of the word? Because it says the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. The natural one has so much life. How much more, you know, the energy in it? You know, so any word that God brings, how you know it's from God is that it has life in it. And it gives you a strength. It gives you the energy to draw apart and to seek Him. Someone said, draw near to God and He will draw near. Hallelujah. So He's waiting. I said, okay, fine. What are you going to do? Will you draw near? You know? And we draw near by making a commitment, you know, to a lifestyle change. To a lifestyle. And what is a lifestyle change? The spirit man must become dominant. The spiritual, the spiritual affairs must become the dominant part of me. If I'm going to make an investment, my investment will be more into the spirit. You know, Enoch had responsibilities and worked with God. He had children. You know, so we all have responsibility at our levels. You know, but I can go to God and say, God, give me wisdom. You know, someone say, teach me to order. Is it not order my days? You know, so God can give us wisdom. How? So if the children are such a burden, when they go to bed, then you can go and meet with God. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you're in the office, you can shift the work to some other person and then get some time and shut down. You know, so we can find various ways. You know, for those who are students, the same thing. You have to find the time. You have cut something off, you know, to just shut down a little time, and then you go and you give it to you. And one thing is, you give God a little, you see so much the response He's going to make to you to encourage. Just a little time, He's going to, you know, come so much at us. You know, fasting does help. You know, some of us are afraid of fasting. But I'm in that group. But I've said that Jesus said the days will come when You know, so this was what we're going to say. It doesn't go about by fasting, prayer. So, now, what does fasting do? Fasting is to bring down this man. This man of the boy said, my friend, just hang down. You know, so just to put down one and give advantage to the other one. You know, so you can put this down a little bit and then get onto that. You know, so there are different things we can do, but the thing is to have a plan. And I say, I'm going to begin, and you go to God and you begin to seek. Begin to, you can have a 3 months, 6 months, 1 year plan. This is where I am today. By the end of so and so, this is where I want to be. Amen. And then you can take it to God and ask God to, as a contract, this is my starting point. In so time, this is where I want to be. Amen. You know, so there are a lot of practical things you can do. You know, spend time on the word, spend time with the messages. You know, and it doesn't stop you from doing other things that you have to do. And in the midst of it, you see God begin to come to you, and you see strength coming here and there. So I think we can knock off at this point. We praise God. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word. It bringeth light, bringeth strength, bringeth oil, bringing encouragement and nourishment. Lord, to instruct our, you said that all scripture is given to minister to us for instruction, correction, upliftment in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished. Lord, we receive that which you have given us today, even in the past. We bring every one of them that we might be instructed unto righteousness. We might be instructed to be a people that overcome. That the land will not overcome us, will not swallow us. That when the flood comes, we shall not be taken by the flood. And when the indignation comes, we shall not be taken by the indignation. And when the wind comes, when the fire comes, we shall not be taken by it, O God. Our children shall not be taken by it. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray you restore the years of the conqueror, the years of the locust, the years of the caterpillar, the years that have been lost. Lord, that you bring us to a place of repentance, a broken and a contrite heart. You will not despise. Create in us, O Lord, a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within us. The spirit of the bride, the spirit of the wayfarer, the spirit of the pilgrim, the spirit of the overcomer. Lord, that in our circumstances we shall overcome. We shall overcome. Oh God, that it will, our mind will no longer be a thoroughfare. We'll bring the altars. We'll bring the images. We'll bring the pictures. We'll bring the stone images. That if I break them and grind them to powder. Lord, that if I judge every altar, every lifestyle that brings strength to the enemy, the image of the beast, that we will no longer bring life to the image of, we will no longer worship and submit to this dark spirit, the spirit that wants us to feed them. Lord, we bring the things we have fed. You see the lifestyle, you see the habits, you see the besetting sins, you see the weight. We ask, oh God, today that these bodies will be rolled away, that we will come to that place of liberty. We ask, Lord, that there will be a creation of that place of intimacy, that place of fellowship. Create in us, O God, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit. Say, so cast us not away from your presence. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation, that joy of fellowship, that joy of obedience, of close walk with you, my God. Lord, let the things that have died, the seeds, the dreams, the visions, the callings, the ministries, the endowments that have died, that are idle, that have been hidden in the flesh, we come to bring them again. I will bring them before you, O God, that you might blow upon it, water it, give life to it, O God. Stir it up again. We come to stir it up. We stir it up, O God. Let there be a stirring. Let there be a restoration. Where we have gone far from you, you bring us back again. Bring us back. Hallelujah. And bind our feet in your presence. That you make us a people of your presence. We'll not be like Esau. We'll be that son that abides in the house, in your presence. A heart that seeks you. A heart that delights in your word. Day and night. We just bless your name, O God. We ask that there be a release of strength and energy and encouragement. Let our vessel be filled again. Let our oil be renewed. My God, let the fire come again. Let the fire fall again. My God, we come again to say, bind the sacrifice with cords upon the altar. We come, oh God, say, bind the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Bind the sacrifice. Lord, restore the first love. Restore it, oh God. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. And renew a right spirit in us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.